One of the biggest challenges in the journey right now that I'm in is trying to blend two different families, two different types of living, two different rules, right? It's the tale of two worlds merging into one. It's the biggest challenge thus far. And, you know, as I reflect back on my parenting journey, as I've been in it so far for the last 10 years or so, it has been one where I have created a world where I've only asked for very little from my daughter. I didn't share any space with a significant other. I didn't have any other children. I didn't have any other family members visiting. I didn't have the social interactions. Not that I didn't want to, because I will always reach out to the parents that the kids got along with Jasleen, but it was more of not having that opportunity because of the other half, the other side of people not wanting to do it. I don't have people visiting me, not because I don't want to. It's just because it seems like men, outside of visiting their family or visiting with their wife, they're not interested in visiting friends from the past. So I never had a world where people were coming in and out, and I felt that I wasn't going to be in a relationship anytime soon. I honestly felt, who the heck is going to deal with being like a low priority on my scale, and the fact that I have to work and take care of my daughter, and that comes first. And, you know, here I am in a situation which is great, and I'm very happy, and it's been amazing. But the tale of two parenting styles has been the challenge. And I've raised my child in a way where it was very simple. You go to school, you do well in school, you behave well in school, you put in an effort. And I know that my daughter, enough, she's not one that is a big fan of school. She does it. She's smart. But she's more artistic. She's more into liberal arts. She's into theater. She's into creativeness. That's her world. She's one of those kids out there just spaced out, man, just having a good time. Loves the gossip. Loves running around. Loves all these things that have to do and not have to do with school. So when I created the world for her that I did it for so many years, it was based on a place of, you're handling your business. There's nothing else here that has to be done. I don't have to teach you how to be with other kids in the same household because there weren't any. I don't have to teach you how to be respectful to all the grown-ups in the same household because that wasn't the case. There weren't any variables that were in place for a long time. It was myself and my daughter. And now that we're in a dynamic where there's a, you know, bunch of other moving factors in it, it's been quite a challenge for her. And during this journey, she's shown that she's exhibiting traits of being spoiled. And of course, that falls on the parents. Am I overcompensating, reflecting? Sure. I may be overcompensated in some ways of providing the things that many parents are not able to or that would like to provide or that other children never received before. But, you know, I wasn't in the mindset that I need to train her or I need to get her up to par because I'm going to be living with somebody and having an extended family. That wasn't the mindset, unfortunately. And it's not like it's a bad thing, but it's just the reality of my life during that point when I was single parenting was that I'm not going to be, don't expect any help, bro. Don't expect any type of community to kind of be created on your end anytime soon. And it's not a bad thing because, like I said, I love where I'm at. I love everything that's going on. But it goes without saying that there's been many, many challenges for my child. And the biggest one that I see, obviously for my daughter, is that she's used to getting things her way. She's not used to working collectively within a group, knowing that sometimes you're not going to get it your way, and sometimes you are. But the times that you don't get it your way, you have to be a good sport about it. And I think that's something that's been very challenging for her. But I also see that in the world that I do parenting is one where it's not rigid with rules and guidelines. Like I said, I only gave her 4 or 5. You go to school, you behave well in school, you behave good at mom's house. You go ahead and clean up on Sundays before you leave. You clean up your place and your duties and chores. And as we're getting older, we're going to do a little bit more. We're going to do washing your clothes. You're going to clean the bathroom. You're going to vacuum. You know, all these different things that I think you have to learn to be on your own, to be able to be a grown-up, right? So those things were coming along. So I never, now that we're in this dynamic, you know, I never gave too much thought about little rules and regulations. And it seems like that's the squaring off that happens here at the household, where one parenting style is one where it's full of rules and regulations because it's a family dynamic. There's multiple people there. It's not just one person and the child or adult and the child. It's adults and children in the house and animals in the house, right? So that there has to be a different level of rules and regulations for that dynamic, for everything to coincide. So when you're having this blended world, for me, coming from like a freelancing world, dealing with a child that, okay, you just have these four or five rules, and then I navigate through the world of nuance, meaning that, yeah, there's rules and regulations, but I try to apply logic and common sense in the decision making. Sometimes it's for the benefit of the lesson. Sometimes it's the benefit of spoiling the child. And those are things that as a parent, I have to hold myself accountable to. But now that you're in a dynamic that she's in and having rules and regulations, and then the other children are like, well, she doesn't seem to have any rules and regulations. What's the deal? You know, and it's nothing. And the thing that it sucks is that when you have children from different teaching perspective or parenting perspectives, where it's not as if I'm letting my daughter do a free-for-all. It's more that we've never had an environment where you would have to consider other people in the equation, right? And the beautiful thing about it has been that she's made a lot of great strides, right? But at the same time, there's a lot of bumps, a lot of restriction, a lot of resistance. And conversely, there isn't an understanding of the way she grew up or the way she was parented. It's more of looked upon as being different, right? And I think that if I feel I have to do a better job of helping her understand that there is a world that wasn't hers with the other children that you're living with, where there was rules and regulations, there was guidelines, there was responsibilities that you've had from a much earlier age than you have. And now for it to be fair, you're going to have to get on board and do some of those things as well, right? And for her, she does them sometimes. Sometimes she doesn't. So has it gotten better? Absolutely. But at the same time, there's still no desire to conform. And I was having a conversation and was told that, you know, that's her choice if she wants to be that way, wants to be a person that just freelancing and continued to be how she was before. And I agree, because I agree, but I also disagree. I agree in the sense that she does choose to be this way. Ultimately, she just feels more comfortable in this way based on her experience in life. But I also believe that I disagree with that as well, because there is an onus on the parent, which is me, to be able and institute and help the child in any way, shape, or form, and teach them that while these things were conducive in the environment that we were in, or they were not conducive, but they were more acceptable, whenever you get in a group dynamic, you have to think a certain way and you have to learn how to speak a certain way. So I know my daughter, one of the things that she can't handle is when there's things that I let her do that the other child doesn't like. Right. So one example that came up recently is we had one of the things that my daughter does once in a while in the back of the car. She'll leave the light on. Like, she'll leave the light on to look at her phone, to go find something on the floor, whatever it is. She just turned the light on when maybe she's FaceTiming mom. She'll do it for a few minutes and then it goes back on. Well, the other child is saying, that's illegal. You can't do that. You don't have, what are you doing? You know, that's against the law. And this is where I think this conversation needs to be had in a way. It's like, I understand that technically I may be breaking the law and a law enforcement officer may pull me over. But let's walk through that scenario. If that law enforcement officer pulls me over And I go ahead and say, well, officer, sorry the light was on. My daughter was FaceTiming her mom. So that's kind of what was going on. And he's going to look at it and say, was that true? He's like, yeah, I was FaceTiming mom. Right? Whatever the story is of whatever why she had the light on. And he's going to either be an asshole and give me a fine. Or he's going to say, you know what? No problem, man. Just keep a light off. All right, little one, you guys have a good Christmas or whatever, right? And that's the world that I work from. I work from a world of logic and nuance. And it doesn't necessarily follow the rules and regulations to a T. So how do you merge that? It takes time, right? But how much time do you give it? Do you give it months? Do you give it years, right? Because at the end, the one thing that I'm realizing is this, is that the trade-off of merging families, of trying to do this, is that when you're shifting a gear with your child, when it wasn't the norm before. So in my case, is now I'm having to call out her behavior, the way she talks to the other children, her behavior being one when she doesn't get her way, that she goes ahead and disconnects or becomes brattish, just lets it be known with her body language and words, and being painful words at that, of her frustration with somebody. These are things that are causing me to all of a sudden be viewed in her eyes as the bad guy, as the bad cop, you know? And that's happening from both sides, from both of the grown-ups. Like, the children are looking at us like, I don't get it, mom. I don't get it, dad. Why are you being this way? This is not the norm. This is not the way it's been. And I get that narrative, and it puts us parents in a bad spot, because we're saying to ourselves, man, like, they're not transitioning, you know? And a lot of it, I believe, is on my end, because again, my child is not used to the rules and regulations and chores. She was going to get slowly integrated into that. Because I didn't feel like it was, you know, again, we're not living in a big household. We're living in a one-bedroom apartment. And it's small. It's like, okay, just clean up your room. That's more than enough for me. You know, we clean up. Most of the stuff we ate from was from paper plates. So it wasn't like I wasn't having to wash dishes or anything like that. Because it's like, there's nothing really to wash. You know, it's like the tub is small. Everything was small. So, but I was going to do all these things before we made the decision to get together and to be in the same household. And it's just shown me a different side of Jazlyn that I never knew. And I'm like, wow, look at this. Look at this side. And these are things that I had to come to the realization, or to the fact that, you know, my daughter is having a hard time with having to transition with this. And I have to do something about it. And I'm working on it. And I'm doing some things right now as you speak. But as the grown-ups talk, it's very evident that we just have different walks and different viewpoints, and it's not like in a bad thing, in a bad way. Again, for me, for my explanation, it's simple. It's like I didn't grow up in a world of a community. I didn't grow up where, hey, mom is coming over, and sister and her cousin are coming over. I'm not having any of that weekly turnaround of people coming through in and out of the house. So when you're not giving your child that type of social interaction within the household, or extended periods of time where they're living with additional people for a long time, and all of a sudden is new, you know, it's going to take some time. And to her credit, she's done some great things. She's stepped up. She's been more about it. But because of the conflicting parenting styles, the children are butting heads, because one child is like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is, and then the other child is like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, because that's not the way I do business. So which way is right? They're both right. But this is the thing, is that we have to teach our children to accept the other way. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it more difficult for the children to see that there's some things, rules applicable to one person than the other? Maybe, you know, possibly, more than likely. But it's also, when you make hard shifts to one side or the other, it's going to cause some type of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm getting lost, man. I don't know why. I came out of the shower feeling fresh. But, you know, you're going to have some sort of resentment. That's the word. And I see it in the children on both sides. And I'm like, geez, you know, want to create this, but then how do we go forward? Because again, I mean, these children have been brought up two different ways, two different styles. And not only that, but they have two different likes, worlds of likes and dislikes, how they like to play with other kids, how they like to interact with other kids. They're totally not, you know, salt and pepper in that sense. And you're sitting there saying, okay, they don't want to play. They can play a certain way for a short amount of time. But after an extended period of time, they just have differences. They have things that they don't like. There's rules. You know, there's ways of the kid that wants to do things a certain way that disagree with the other, right? And you're sitting there saying, and you're constantly having meetings. And that's the part that I'll leave with this. Is, you know, it's one of those things that you, it's the biggest wild card by far that wasn't equated into it. I know for me, hypothetically, this scenario is one where I have to just keep throwing the therapy. I have to do my best to have her see the perspective of growing up. Because at this rate, the way that I've been parenting her and what she's been showcasing is one where she just rather be on an island by herself. Doesn't want to deal with people. Doesn't want to work together, and gets very disappointed or emotional in a negative way when things don't go her way. And that's going to be, listen, for a 44-year-old man like me that's happily divorced, that's probably a great alternative. It's, you know, but for somebody that's 10 years old, still has plenty of life to live, you're going to have a lot of heartaches, a lot of disappointments with people not wanting to socialize with you. And it's up to me as a dad to show her that the way she's been doing business is one that has to improve. Because sure, you may not get along with this child, but there's a way of massaging it, of still having respect for each other and still being able to coexist instead of creating friction and distance and having temper tantrums and saying things that are hurtful, not only to the children, but to everybody in the household. And I think those are the things that, as a parent, I mean, this is level 202, man. I got to step up, and we'll keep grinding, man. But it's just a very interesting observation as we've been in this journey of a blended family and documenting the challenges of that.